Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I don't know who this guy is or if it's true, but we like to spread gossip. We're a gossip show. Mike Ortiz Jr. His handle's at Trust Ortiz, so probably means we shouldn't trust him. If his handle says trust me, he probably can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. But he says sources, Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, are both targeting Game 3 for their return. The Lakers still Game 1 or Game 2. Their timeline would get pushed back to Game 4. What I was told is they will not sit past a 2-0 deficit. This feels fake. A BS flag on this guy. I don't believe it. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I'm looking at trying to see like who follows him.
I've never heard of him. His handle's at Trust Ortiz. I'm not trusting it. I'm not trusting him. I only knew one Ortiz in my life, and that guy led me astray. He fooled me for years. I actually got handcuffed from his job once upon a time, that Ortiz fella. So I can't trust an Ortiz. Sorry about it.
J.J. Redick said they're still out indefinitely. He's not going to be able to comment this week. Now, that means through Saturday, right? So like, I guess there could be an update early next week, but I'm going to guess no.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know if he'll be back or not, but I'm throwing a BS flag on this guy's tweet. Yeah, I don't trust Ortiz. But it does lead me to the question: Rockets Lakers series line 5.5 games. You like the over under on that? I told you yesterday they already made one play on the series.
Yep, you took the Lakers.
I took the Lakers plus 550. Mm-hmm. I think the Rockets are going to win the series. I just think that Vegas is looking at the Rockets a little too favorably. I think that I would have had if I were handicapping it, I think I would have had it Rockets. I think I would have had the Lakers like plus 400.
Okay.
So that it was plus 550, I think that I'm gaining value here. I might be gaining an L, too. Who knows?
I'm taking the over, 5.5. I think this thing goes 6.
Oh.
The Rockets don't close games well. They don't close well in the fourth quarter. All season long. They've been bad in clutch games. They've been bad against bad teams in clutch games. Like, they kind of fall apart. So I think there's going to be two games in the series where the Rockets just kind of let it go in the fourth. I don't really know if the other four games will be largely competitive. I think the Rockets are going to handle most of this series, but I don't trust them late right now. So I think LeBron finds a way to win two games, whether he has Luka and Austin Reeves or not.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to say the over. You caught me off guard because I also think – I think that Vegas thinks too highly of the Rockets. I think the Rockets win the series – but I can't pass up plus 550. You know what I actually might be doing? I might be trying to look at a way to bet the Rockets in this series and hedge this and try to get like a profit both sides. Like, what if the Lakers win both games in L.A.? Like, is that impossible?
Yeah, no.
The Lakers win both games in L.A. with LeBron and the Rockets, who can't close and who are a little bit turnover prone? Like, is it impossible the Lakers win the first two games in L.A.? It's a 2-0 lead, and then all of a sudden the Rockets are plus 350 to win the series, and I get right back into the Rockets side of it? Like, that's honestly what I want to do. Or the Lakers take game one. Like, if the Lakers steal game one, that's probably more realistic, right, than the Lakers win both games?
Sure.
Because the Rockets are going to be favored in both games, you would think. What if the Lakers steal game one? What does that do for the series price?
It's going to move it pretty
dramatically. Will the Rockets be plus money at that point?
I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not plus money, but probably, what, minus 150, 180?
Yeah. I mean, they're only favored by 5.5. In game one.
I might be trying to get back on the Rockets in this series. I might try to live bet the series on the Rockets side of things.
So you can.
I think plus 550 is good value. I'm with you. I think that the series line, I'm playing the over too. You want to do it as a sweat of the day?
Yeah, we can do it.
All right. What are we getting on odds here?
It is. I'll pull it back up.
I feel like Dave Ramsey now. Tell me your scenario.
What
does your mortgage look like? How much are you paying on your car?
Over 5.5 is minus 115.
All right. I'm down with it. So we'll put up $115 to win a unit.
Now there's also, at least on this one that I'm looking at.
Let's do it.
There's Rockets win the series 4-2.
Let me text myself so I don't forget.
If they win the series 4-2, it's plus 250.
What, are you trying to bet both?
Yeah.
I personally don't like that because I got Lakers plus 550.
Well, you could take the Rockets in 7.
What's that at?
Plus 700.
See, I guess you're giving up all the Lakers win the series late, though, when you do that.
You are.
Like, if you go over 5.5 in this series, but you rather play Rockets 6, Rockets 7 because the value's better, you're surrendering all of the Laker upside to win it.
You are, yeah. Yeah, you're giving up with doing all of that. But
I feel like we're getting too cute at that point.
That's fine. But I think the over 5.5 is the play. LeBron is not what he was before, obviously. But he's still LeBron. Like it still feels like he's going to find a way to win two games, especially with the series starting in LA.
Yeah.
So I think the Rockets win the series.
Not only that, I think you could couple that with the fact that I think the Rockets are going to find a way to lose two games.
Exactly. Like, and that's where like it could end up going seven. Where if LeBron is the reason why they win one, the Rockets can be the reason why they lose the other two.
I would hate it to go seven because that seventh game would come in LA.
And Luka's definitely playing in game
seven. Luka could potentially play in a game seven.
Like, he might be playing with his hamstring falling off the bone.
He's like Isak Paredes running around with hamstring.
You might have him and Austin out there in that situation.
Yeah, the deeper the series goes, the worse. Rockets got to – I mean, it speaks to the fact that the Rockets have to come out, win a couple of games early in the series and try to take commanding lead. Because I actually think it's less likely that Luka tries to rush back if they have a massive deficit.
To trust Ortiz's point, like if they're down – if the Lakers are down 2-0, Luka, if he can play, it plays in game three. If it's 1-1 – like, they'll push that thing as far
as they
can.
But if it's 2-0 and you're getting beaten by 30, why would you bring Luka back and risk potential more damage that could cost you next season?
We talked about that next year, but that might just not be his philosophy.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that might be one where the player outweighs the organization, which isn't always the best thing to do. You should let the organization decide what's best sometimes in that situation. But, I mean, look at Haliburton last year. If the organization had their way, would they have run Haliburton out there for Game 7?
That's a lot different. Game 7 of the finals versus the first round.
But in the first round, like I probably would rather protect my player.
But yeah.
I would imagine Luka's going to want to be out there. So I was like, I don't know how you say no to him.
Yeah, is Luka a dog?
He's got...
Like, is he... But I also think he's smart. Like, I also think that he's like, yeah, you know, it's 2-0. I'm playing at 70%. This is a team we're already trailing 2-0. We lost both games at home. Like this, it might just be time to close shop and prepare for next season.
Very possible.
Like, I mean, that would be the smart play.
And especially if Reeves is out for sure. Like, if Reeves was out there with LeBron, I could see Luka being more inclined to play.
Yeah, you give a lot more stock to Reeves than I do.
Well, I think with their current roster, like.
I mean, I think he can play a little offense.
Yeah,
he can score a little bit.
He can't play no defense.
I think they're better defensively. Might be better overall without. Well, I'm not going to say they're better overall without him. That's a bit much. The one bigger question for the postseason the Rockets have, according to ESPN, do the Rockets have a closer? The blown leads throughout the regular season were concerning, but those took place because of an inability to consistently generate offense in late-game situations. That's partially a product of point guard Van Vliet's absence because of a season-ending injury. Durant, Amin, Reed, and Alpi have shown improvement, but can they rise to the moment come playoff time? I think the very easy answer to this is yes, it's Kevin Durant, but the Rockets have to behave that way.
Durant, they have a closer. That, I don't think that's the question. It's because can they get the ball to the closer? Like, can they set up an offense to get Kevin Durant in a position to win a basketball game at the end of it?
See.
Like, it's not, like, yes, they have a closer. They have KD.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, is it the first two games of the season? Bad shots?
Yeah. Can the Rockets utilize their closer the best way? Can they optimize their closer? Because we all know that Kevin Durant is their closer. Can they optimize Kevin Durant? Because they have struggled with that. You know, sometimes it's Durant. Sometimes it's Kevin Durant needing to be the ball handler because they don't have a ball handler. He's not great at handling the ball. Turns it over. Or Alpi gets a little selfish. Or, you know, Amin has trouble getting it to him. Or Jabari's, like, feeling himself and heaves up a 28-footer or tries to go off the dribble, even worse. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jabari, trying to beat people off the dribble. All right, 713-780-ESPN. There's some Astro Nuggets, Astros news. They're back home at last. They're back home. A disastrous road trip. Saw them lose 8 in a row. This disastrous road trip. Saw them do things that hasn't been done since 1913. But some injury updates. And Imai, you know, I think I have an opinion here, Joe. Imai, who's on the injured list, I think I have figured out Imai's ailment. I think I know what he is suffering from. 713-780-ESPN. I'll tell you that on the other side. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo,
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-ESPN. Astros have returned home. They will start a series against the Rockies tonight. Hopefully the Astros can get on track. They've lost 8 in a row. They have the worst record in the entire league. Both leagues, Major League Baseball, they have the worst record, 6-11. They play the 6-10 Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, this could be a big series.
They could not be the worst team in baseball, the victory tonight.
It could also be the tiebreaker for if they end up having the worst record in baseball this year between the Rockies.
Wouldn't matter.
Well, no, I'm saying it.
Because the lottery balls are the same.
Well, if they end up falling below.
Colton Gordon gets his first start of the season as he goes for the Stros. Hopefully he can, you know, get to the midpoint of the game maybe. The jacked Michael Lorenzen is going for the Rockies. Astros lineup tonight. Altuve at second. Jordan DH is. Isak Paredes plays third. Correa is ahead of Walker again. Correa is playing short.
Okay.
Walker at first. Cam Smith is in right. And then the bottom three, Loperfido in center. Matthews in left. And Christian Vasquez does the catching. So okay. Matthews plays for the first time in a while. Vasquez ahead of Yiner, and a lot of people are happy about that because a lot of people are disgusted with Yiner Diaz.
Is this Loperfido's first game in center this year?
No.
No?
Nuh-uh. I think he started the day after Myers got
before
hurt.
Before Trammell came up?
Or I think Trammell might have come up that game. But okay. I don't know if Trammell played the first day. Loperfido, I think, started the first day post-Myers injury.
Okay.
He also played center field when Myers left the game.
That's right, yeah.
And then they moved Matthews to left. Yeah, so that is the Astros 9. Now, a couple of nuggets coming from the dike. Josh Hader threw live pitching today. Faced some hitters.
Yep.
So he was throwing 91-93. He talked after the game. He talked after the live BP, the live that he threw. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll listen to it before tomorrow. But that's, I mean, signs point the right way there.
You know, that's positive.
It's positive news. I mean,
20 pitches isn't a lot, but this is like his first spring training ramp up.
Yeah, and he's not going to throw a bunch of pitches either.
No, but the velo, that sounds good.
Yeah, he's not going to be hopefully a heavy pitch load guy.
Hopefully it's not what is happening to everyone else. Too much velo too early.
Well, I don't think that's too much, though. I mean, he sits mid to upper 90s.
Yeah, but
he sits 94, 95. He's throwing 91, 93.
Yeah, he said the other, like, what was it, like a week or two ago when he said he started throwing bullpens, he was sitting in 90, which he had never done before.
Yeah.
Which I didn't love to hear that. Like, he may try to make it come off as a positive thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, eh.
Well, he probably sits like 89.
That's probably
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll know. Who knows? Like, people loved when Hunter Brown was bumping 99 in spring training. Like, eh. Don't love that he's doing that. But the news on Emai is kind of interesting here.
It's something.
Yeah. Through an interpreter, Emai said he's not been able to adjust to an American lifestyle in terms of baseball and outside of baseball. When asked about outside of baseball, Emai said through an interpreter, the travel is different from Japan and also the timing when players eat. So in Japan, the players, when they get back to the hotel, they eat their dinner. But in here, the players eat at the stadium.
So earlier you asked me a question.
Uh-huh.
You said if
his
you could.
His tests were clean, by the way.
If you could get out of that contract, would you?
He might be getting out of the contract to go back to Japan.
I would like to retract my statement of saying not yet.
He might opt out.
I'm out.
He might opt out and head back to Japan.
This might be one where I'm walking myself into Bad Take Boulevard. I'm out on him.
He's got the hard mound. He's got the seams. His teammates aren't eating dinner at the hotel.
They're eating at the stadium.
That's a weird one.
It's a really weird one.
The travel. That's why did he come back home? Is he living with anybody here? I wonder if he's living with anybody here.
Who would he be living with? His interpreter?
What are you trying to say?
Well, like,
maybe he's got a girlfriend. I don't know.
That's possible.
He's not married, is he?
I don't think
so. Is
he
might be married?
I mean, I know like early on he was hanging out with Weiss a lot.
I think they went to dinner once, Joe.
I think this is the guy.
I think they had one dinner together.
Well, for him, that might be a lot.
What do you mean a lot?
For him, that might be a lot based on the way he's talking.
I don't know his ritual. I don't know who he's hanging out with. I know there was one story about one dinner that they had. And he may ordered dinner, and then he ordered another dinner for later.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the time zones was also what he alluded to.
I wonder if that's why he came back home, though. It's because like he was so like tired of being on the road. It was a long road trip. It's the longest road trip of the year.
Yeah.
Like, he's flying back home. Like,
I got bad
people
news
would
for
say because of the imaging and all that. But
like, you got to go back to California a bunch this year.
He might be pitching for the Japanese Giants next year.
It's
Yokohama just, Stars.
It's strange. It's strange. Like there's no other way. This is a strange thing to say.
So I said earlier, I teased at the break. I've diagnosed Imai.
Okay. You know,
I'm not a doctor, but I stayed in college long enough to become a doctor.
Sure.
Should I have chosen? I don't think. I mean, I think it's very clear he's not dealing with a sore arm here. Some people might say he's homesick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's depressed. I think Imai's suffering for depression. He's got a hard mound that he's never had to deal with. He's got these low seams. He's dealing with low self-esteem from the low seams. He doesn't eat dinner with his teammates in the clubhouse. He'd rather go back to the hotel to do it. He's leaving a road trip early to get back home. I think Imai is depressed.
Fair?
I think he's depressed.
Yeah, I would say homesick. Probably is more where I would lean with my diagnosis.
When you get some of Houston's finest to the Imai, show him the good stuff. That way he loses his depression.
Yeah.
Bring some happiness into his life.
I guess he's just going to start telling the guys, like, hey, please don't eat at the stadium. Let's eat at home.
Yeah, that's not happening.
At the hotel.
That's not happening.
Like, what are they going to eat at, like, 10 o'clock at night? 10:30? After the game? Or is he saying, like, eat at the hotel before the game?
No, he's saying instead of the post-game spread,
that they go back
catch
to the
bus back to the hotel and they eat at the hotel. I don't think that's kind of common outside of Major League Baseball. Like, you see colleges and stuff do that sometimes.
Do they really?
Sometimes.
They don't just eat there at the stadium?
It depends. You know, sometimes they'll have meals delivered to the, you know, arena or stadium.
Sure.
It depends. Like, football, you're catching a plane. So they'll have meals delivered to the stadium. Most of the time, you'll see meals delivered to the stadium. But sometimes, you know, if you're staying the night, you might go back to the hotel and have dinner there.
Yeah, it just feels like a weird excuse.
It is kind of weird.
To be talking about everything he's talked about so far. I mean, think back to his first start. We talked about this. When the shin was focusing in on him adjusting to the seams of the baseball still. Like, so he didn't figure it out at all in the spring training? Like that's... I mean, like, I get guys, like, he's clearly having a hard time adjusting.
Yeah.
And
it is a culture shock.
It is, for sure.
You know, I don't want to be, you know, callous about this.
No, but, like, with, like, the baseballs in the mound, like, I don't know. That's hard. Like, you can't fix that one. You can fix the other stuff, right? You can try to. Like, you can have guys on this team be like, hey, like.
It sounds like it needs some Zoloft.
You need to go to dinner with Imai. Yeah, be his friend. Yeah, hang out with him. Buy him a beer. I can't fix the mound.
We need some, like, sad music for Imai. Like, I can think. Remember when you ever watch Friends? Remember when Joey moved out of the apartment and Chandler was, like, sad looking out of the window with the rain falling?
I'll take your word for it.
There's, like, it's like a famous meme.
Oh, I'm sure I've seen it then.
But he's like looking out the window.
Yeah, I've seen that. But I know the context of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's also what I'll do if the Astros are bad this year.
Javier Gonzalez, my second favorite Astros beat writer. Behind Brian McTaggart, he said he tweets in Spanish. Through an interpreter, Imai said that the problem was not the number of pitches, but the fact that he had not yet adapted to life in the USA. Moving between different time zones and so on is something he's suffering from more than he thought. So how did his arm get sore? Not from the number of pitches, but because of his lifestyle adapting to the USA.
Is he not sleeping?
How did this impact his arm?
Is this a sleep issue?
How did this make his arm sore?
I don't know. That's why I'm with you. Like, I don't know if his arm was sore.
The Astros guaranteed this guy $60 million.
This feels like now I'm more confident in what you've been saying. This is more of a mental reset for him.
That's exactly what it
like,
was.
It's not. I mean, McTaggart tweeted earlier, too, that the Astros are going to – it was McTaggart or Chandler. They're going to work to strengthen his arm first before they get him back out there.
Can they do that? Can they send him to Japan? Do they have any, like, affiliation with some of the teams over there?
I'm sure they can find one. Are they even playing right now? I don't know the rule. I don't know when their season is.
This is not good news.
No, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
He's sad. How do you say sad in Japanese, AJ? You went to school.
Yeah, but I took French.
How do you say sad in French?
I forgot.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
I don't know Japanese.
It's been 2 years.
He goes, I don't know sad in Japanese because I took French. I don't know how to say it in French either.
I say sad in Spanish.
Oh, that's a good one. Triste.
Triste?
Soy triste.
Triste?
Yeah, triste is like sad.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. So now I'll know when Jose Jorge's back next month. If I see a triste, at least I'll know what it means.
A little what?
Triste.
It sounds funny coming out of your mouth.
It's because I'm white.
Yeah. Let me make sure that's right.
That would be a bad look for you if it's not right.
I'm pretty sure it's triste. What's sad in Spanish? Google didn't help me here. Yeah. Yeah, it's triste. Triste is sad or unhappy. Look at you, putting me on the spot like that. Knocking it out of the park.
I mean,
like I was a batter facing Tatsuya Imai.
I mean, that would be a huge swing and miss if you didn't hit that.
I'm not great at Spanish. I'm pretty good at understanding it, listening to it, but speaking it, I'm not fantastic at. And I guess I have to be sharp that day. Like I was at the grocery store yesterday, maybe the day before, and I could tell that the lady behind me was Spanish speaking. How dare you stereotype like that? But the reason I knew that is because the cashier was telling her, leave your watermelons in the cart because he didn't need to scan them, right?
You sure?
And she didn't understand. So okay. I was like, okay, well, she's probably a Spanish speaker. She has no idea what he's saying. And she started like taking them out of her basket. So I was trying to like be helpful here because we live in a society and I think we should help people in this society, mm-hmm. right? So I was trying to like help out, like be the translator here. And in that moment, I was not ready to really speak Spanish because I was cold. I was rusty. But I just asked her. I was like, you know, habla español, because I don't want to insult her and be like, you know, and she's speaking German at me or Russian.
Sure.
I didn't want to start talking in Spanish. And she was like, bah, 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 and like, you know, some random language I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, habla español. And she's like, yeah, sí, sí. And I was like, I had no idea how to say cart. I was like, la sandía está bien, and I blanked on cart.
Just like point at it.
I was like, la sandía está bien, ahí. My Spanish ain't great. I can understand it pretty good. I don't speak it great. And if I'm rusty, I was cold, man.
I would have loved to witness that.
But I mean, I got the message across. She didn't take the sandía out. She left it right there in the cart.
That's how you say watermelon?
Sandía is, yeah, watermelon.
All right.
Yeah. So, but I was like, man, I sound gringo. I sound gringo right now. Will the Astros trade for starting pitching early in the season before June? Brutal rotation, health, and depth. Probably not. They don't have there's not a lot of pieces to trade. And the danger zone here is if, like, you're trading for young prospects for a team whose record isn't good. Like, that's a tough spot to be in. I don't think they're going to do that.
No. I don't see them adding, at this point, to this roster and to try to like win. If anything, they're selling to add pitching prospects.
I think that the only chance of them adding a starter would be like the veteran starting pitcher that hasn't signed somewhere that they can get on cheap and just try to eat innings. I don't see it happening. I think they have to hunker down and try to weather the storm. Yeah, it's not a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, there was an article on Giolito today. They were not mentioned.
No. Which McTaggart was in my comments the other day saying that that's not happening. They will not sign Giolito. And I believe everything Brian McTaggart says about the Houston Astros. And I'm being sincere when I say that.
I do too.
Okay.
Why would they not be on Giolito, though? Too much, you think?
Yeah, his Savant stuff is not good either. I think that his numbers are better than his
analytics,
metrics.
Yeah.
And then he wants too much money. I think he wants a substantial amount of money because I was reading a story about him the other day, and he said he wants to be paid commiserate to his market.
His market is $0 right now.
But to his numbers.
Yeah.
To his numbers.
Well, I mean, that's why he opted out of his $19 million year contract.
He opted out of 19 mil?
Yeah.
So he probably wants 19 mil.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Very dumb.
Jeez, I didn't realize that he opted out of $19 million. That's why he's not signing. He probably wants $20 million or more.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like a fool.
And the qualifying thing would not, if they qualified him, which I don't remember if the Red Sox did, that would not matter at this point.
No, not at this point.
Okay. That time's passed.
Yeah, he would have rejected the qualifying offer. And at this point, I believe, you're talking about for draft pick compensation?
Yeah.
It might not be until the draft.
Really?
Maybe. I need to double check that. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know if they did.
I don't know if the count ends on opening day. It might end on the draft.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge Giolito believer. It's just more if you have another injury, I don't know how you don't at least explore it if he's still sitting out there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they're going to exhaust all the means that they currently have. And I don't think that you can spend money on pitching or trade for pitching whenever you have the worst record in baseball.
Yeah.
What will they sell then? If they sell, it'll be in the summer, and it'll probably only be Brian Abreu because, as Joe points out, do you want Dana Brown, who's in the final year of his contract, being the maestro of a massive rebuild.
I could see Esoc.
Maybe.
Being given the green light on Esoc.
Maybe. Maybe so. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what I'm cashing? I'm cashing Federal American Grill. I always do. Federal American Grill is awesome. It is so good. Their menu is fantastic. You got to get out there for dinner. They're so good. Everything on the menu is so good. Their burger very good, which they also donate a dollar to Camp Hope for every burger that they sell. Their steaks are very good. There's not anything on the menu that is bad. It's all fantastic. Maybe you're looking for a social hour spot. Maybe you see a Federal American Grill right now. You're stuck in traffic somewhere in Houston. It's rush hour. Just peel off. Exit. Go to Federal American Grill. Their social hour every day from 3 until 7. They got 6 Houston locations. River Oaks now open, 2400 Mid Lane, Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, downtown, my spot up in the Woodlands. They're all fantastic. The vibes, too, during social hour, phenomenal. Immaculate vibes during social hour. $10 apps, wonderful variety of drink specials. It's awesome. Also, event season's coming up. You can book your events with Federal American Grill, thefederalgrill.com for more. We're talking multiple private event spaces at each of their locations. We did a show once, actually, inside one of those private event spaces. Great spot. Awesome. It is the best. And it's great for prom. It's great for graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, company parties, company retreats, you name it. This is your spot for private event spaces. You're going to get great food, great drink, great service at Federal American Grill. Also, we got some days coming up. Got Derby Day coming up. Kentucky Derby at Federal American Grill, May 2nd, and they do it right. From 3 until 7 at the Hedwig Village, River Oaks, Woodlands, and Katy location. Check out what they got going on during Kentucky Derby Day. Live music, Woodford Reserve Mint Julep specials, prizes for the best dressed man. I might go out there like a jockey, but they got prizes for the best dressed man, woman, and couple, a hat contest as well. Make your reservation today. Dress to impress. FederalGrill.com for reservations. And also, don't forget about Mama. Don't forget about Mother's Day. And I know Mama's because my mommy's wrist. But tell Mom you love her by celebrating Mother's Day at Federal American Grill. It's on May 10th for all you people who don't know ball. May 10th for Mother's Day. They're going to have a 3-course meal special for brunch and dinner on Mother's Day. Just $45 for brunch, $60 for dinner. It's going to be delicious. So go ahead and book now at thefederalgrill.com for more information. That's thefederalgrill.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or trash 'em, Jeremy and Joe. What are you cashing, Joe?
The Houston Astros are still going to make the playoffs.
All right, you can try to sell me on that tomorrow. Okay. Maybe after a victory.
So you're not going to cash or trash it right now?
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
The pitching is in dire straits. And, like, are they going to stay healthy enough offensively all year to be the best offense in baseball?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and trash it. And if I'm wrong, thank goodness. And I'll eat crow. I have a tough time seeing it.
You think it'll be a wide margin?
No. I think they'll get back. I think they're going to stabilize things here. I think they will weather the storm. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they'll be in the race. But ultimately, I think they win, like. This pitching staff is terrible. Hunter Brown's not going to be back for the foreseeable future. You really don't have a plus starter outside of him. So every game you're going to pitch without a plus starter. Mm-hmm. Every game.
Yes, it is the reality of where you're at.
Every game you're going to be using a starter that's like average at best. And some nights, worse than that.
Yeah, and you need your bullpen. If your rotation is going to be this way, you need your bullpen to be significantly better.
So, like, you have to stay very healthy on offense with a bunch of players who have been injury prone in their career. I think that they win like 81, 83 games, miss the playoffs by like 3 or 4.
Yeah. I'm going to look back at this losing stretch as the reason why they missed the playoffs.
Maybe. And I hope, look, hopefully I'm wrong and we can put me on Bad Take Boulevard at the end of the season. I would love that. I would love to be wrong here. I'm not one of those guys that roots for my takes. Except in the case of Josh Allen. I root for that one.
The only time I root for my takes is if I put money behind it.
Sure, sure. But I separate that. Like, I could bet. I mean, I've bet against the Astros before. I still want them to win the game.
Yes, sure.
You know?
We did it last week.
Yeah, still want them to
win
the game.
We did it on Monday. We did it yesterday.
You know, a lot of talk about Jeremy Pena playing 162 games and all that. Here's my cash him or trash him. Jeremy Pena is too muscly to play 162 games. Too muscly. Ozzie Guillen famously said, "Yeah, I don't sprain anything because I don't have any muscles. Why do you think I'm always hurt? Because I'm jacked.
Yeah.
Why do you think I got mommy's wrist? Because I'm ripped." Jeremy Pena is too muscly to ever play 162 games in a single season. Too muscly. He's too in shape.
I'm going to cash it.
You got to. Look at his last couple of injuries. Well, look at two of his last three injuries.
Yeah.
What is his latest injury? What did he strain?
His hammy?
His giant, glorious hamstring.
Yeah.
It's too big. Too muscular. What was his injury at the end of last season?
I don't remember.
His muscular oblique.
Mm.
He's got too many muscles, and they're too big.
So, Jeremy Pena.
He is too muscly.
Yeah.
To play 162-game season. He's never going to play 162 games in a single season, as he aspires to do, as Chandler Rome was, like, convinced he was going to do. Chandler Rome was talking all offseason that Jeremy Pena was a lock to play 162 games. Again, another example, that dude does not know ball and has zero feel. Oh, he's going to play 162 games. Why? Well, he wants to. He's too muscly to play 162 games, bro.
Yeah, I like this thing.
He pulled his hamstring less than a month into the season. He missed the last week of last year with an oblique. He's too muscly. Muscular dudes don't play 162.
Did Pablo Sandoval play in a lot of games?
Skinny fat dudes play 162. Pablo
Sandoval?
What do they call him?
The panda?
Yeah, the panda.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not.
No, it doesn't look like it. He played a lot of games, though.
Ah, man. He's too muscly to play.
He also got, like, really fat towards the end.
He did. He got a very
out of shape. Like, real bad.
You got to be a happy medium. That'd be a happy medium.
Is Bartolo Colon a happy medium?
Like Cal Ripken. Like, Cal Ripken was never jacked, you know? Cal Ripken's the Iron Man. Like, he was a big boy, right? How big a boy are you? He was a big boy, but was Cal Ripken like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, Jeremy Pena, if he wanted to, if he committed 6 months, he could be in, like, what do they call him, the bodybuilding contest? Like, where they go up on the stage and they tan their body unnatural colors, and I'm worried about skin cancer. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, they put this spray-on tan, and they're like
orange.
Yeah.
Bright orange.
Yeah, they're, like, orange when they're, like, pasty like you, and all of a sudden they're orange, like a pumpkin.
Yep.
And they're all jacked and, like, roided to the gills. If Pena wanted to do that, he could do that. Kyle Farnsworth does that.
That's true.
Kyle Farnsworth, after his big league career, started getting into the fitness industry or whatever. If Pena wanted to do that, he could do that.
So he just needs to...
But you're prone to injury. He's too jacked to play 162. And I'm not saying that he needs to tone it back or anything. I'm just saying he's not going to be a 162-game player.
That's a fair take. That's why I cash it.
Yeah, 145 would be great. 154 would be great. But you got some non-ball knowers. Well, he's going to play 162. Why? Well, he wants to play 162. Cool. I want $1 billion. Is that happening? Of course not. I work in sports radio. Be lucky to make five figures in a year. Christian Walker, adversity is the word that's coming to mind, and I think it's good to get tested early, but yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it sucks. We need our guys on the field. Also, that being said, we can still win 100-plus games with the people we've got in the clubhouse.
Trash that.
Cash or trash? Christian Walker saying we can still win 100 games.
Trash.
All right, trash.
Trash.
That one jumped out to me. I saw that. I think it was in Kawahara's article about the Astros. Justin Turner has a new rule proposal in Major League Baseball. If the manager chooses to intentionally walk someone, those runs shouldn't count against a pitcher's ERA.
Ooh. Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'm going to trash it.
Yeah, because who are you intentionally walking? You're like the stud, the Yordan Alvarez of the world.
Yeah, you're saying my pitcher can't get Yordan Alvarez out, so I'm giving him a free base because I don't want him to hit a home run here. Or a big double. So it's a manager, like, deserved lack of confidence because of how good those guys typically are. Yeah. But no, I have to trash this. It's an interesting idea.
I trash it too. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Like, I'm not going to roast him for it. I'm on the lean no, trash no.
It's similar to, like, this 3-point rule in the NBA, right? Where, like, they're not counting the half court shots at the end of the game, which I think is also stupid.
It's kind of Bush League.
So, like, I trash it, but I get where he's coming from.
What do you think about a pitcher error counting for a pitcher's ERA? Because if a pitcher fields a routine ground ball, he airmails the first baseman, that runner's on. That runner eventually scores. It counts as an unearned run.
I cash that.
See, actually, I don't. I trash
really?
It.
Why?
Yeah, I think there should be a separation of church and state. I think an ERA is about the pitching prowess, not about his defensive prowess. I actually don't agree with that
one. Yes, but it's his fault.
Sure. But his ERA is a definition of how he is as a pitcher,
yeah,
not how he is as a complete player.
That's true. But I think I'd be in favor of that one.
Brandel Chambly. Here's another muscle one. Brandel Chambly believes Tiger Woods wins 25 majors without lifting weights.
Trash.
Trash.
I'm going to trash it too.
How many does he have?
But I don't think he's terribly off base here.
Trash.
What is he, like 17?
I think it's less than that. I think who's the Jack's the all-time leader. I think Jack had 18, right? I think he's like at 15. I think Jack had more than 18 then. Tiger's at 15 majors.
15, yeah.
So he would say he would have won 10 more if he didn't lift all those weights.
No, I don't see it.
Oh, Nicklaus is at 18. I wanted to say 18, but I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the gusto. Yeah, Jack's at 18, Tiger's at 15.
No, he's not winning 25.
He wouldn't win 10 more. I think he might catch Jack though. Because controversial take. I think the Tiger Woods golf game was far more impacted by his training with Navy SEALs than it was Ellen taking an 8-iron to his back window.
Yeah, because that's when all of his back injuries ever started. Yeah,
so many injuries.
So, yeah, no, I would cash that he gets the 19.
Yeah.
I would trash he gets the 25.
I think he gets the Jack, but I don't think he gets the 25. 25 is too many.
Does it start with the 2? Does he get the 20?
I think he gets the 20.
Okay.
I think he would win 20. Now, I don't – like, 25 is where I trash it. Tiger trained – to like be jacked and to be like a military guy.
Yeah.
Tiger didn't really train with weights and stuff for the benefit of his golf game. If he had just 100% like buy-in, I'm going to lift for golf and all that, I think he would have won 20.
Yeah.
I think he would have won 20. He put too much wear and tear on his body.
A couple here from the text line.
Sure.
Time?
Yeah.
We'll get one of them from Ryan.
Okay.
Because he feels like I'm not going to read this because I'm reading the text line.
Oh.
Cash or trash? Joe would make a heck of a jockey, but would have to have a very strong horse.
Trash.
Trash, too.
Yeah, he looks a little too big.
Well, that's what he's saying. Like, you have to have like a steroided up horse.
There's a Netflix show on Chasing the Crown, maybe, which they go around like a bunch of different horse owners that have horses running in the Triple Crown. They did it last year. I hope they bring it back. It's pretty cool. Jason Worth's on it.
Okay.
Jason Worth, the horse owner.
The former Phillies player?
Yeah, the guy along here. Yeah, he's awesome. All right, Junkie of the Day. Who's your Junkie of the Day? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, 97.9 HG2.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors for business, and they made their mission simple, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed, but the reason that people come to D&M has only grown. They're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little. And what are you waiting for? They'll bring you that car, that new lease vehicle, within 24 to 72 hours when you call them at 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. And they'll walk you through the process from start to finish. So if you've never leased a vehicle before, don't worry. They'll explain it all to you. Their average salesperson's been there for 10 years, so they've given tons of people new leased vehicles. They'll protect you from depreciation, design a lease around your life, and save you money. Call them right now, 713-290-1000, or visit dmautoleasing.com today.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Senate Avenue, place to be, coming up. 6 o'clock, Soccer Matters live from Senate Avenue Brewing. Swing on by, have a cold beer, have some good food, hang out with Glenn, and then, you know, sit with your back towards Brian the Brain. Hall of Fame at 8 o'clock. Brad Gilmore is the Glenn Davis of that show. And Booker T is the Brian McDonald of Soccer Matters. And I don't mean that as a compliment. All right, Junkie of the Day. What you got, Joe?
The Astros Twitter poll. I'm going to nominate that today. I hate to tell people how to fan, but why are we tweeting out? Will the wave happen more or less than three times in tonight's game?
I mean, social admin's trying to be creative.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to rage bait.
They can't really feel the...
Oh, they knew what they were doing.
You think?
65,000 views on a poll. I bet you it's the most they've ever got.
I hate the anti-wave crowd. Who cares?
You shouldn't be doing the wave.
So what?
I'm fine with it in not big moments.
That's fair.
Like, when it's a big moment, you start doing the wave in the playoffs. Like, you can tell that's where...
It's a lively crowd. Yeah. Kids are probably doing it. They're having fun at the ball game. They're spending $50 to get their seat. Who cares what they're doing? Are they hurling insults and racist comments at the players?
No, they're not.
They're standing up and putting their hands in the air. Calm down, people. Relax.
Yeah, just not in a big moment.
It's going to be all right.
And then Imai.
He's depressed.
He's sad. Sad boy.
We need to get him going. How are we going to fix Imai's depression? We're going to do that tomorrow.
Sounds great.
I don't know why I'm writing this down. I'm throwing this away.
I'll write it down.
Yeah. Yeah, put that on the show notes. How are we going to fix Imai's depression tomorrow on the show? We might be a lead topic, especially if the Astros play poorly today.
Yeah,
be the lead topic. My two junkies of the day, Kathy Engelbert, WNBA commissioner. She was asked, like, how much longer do you anticipate having this job? And she's like, you wouldn't ask men that. And the reporter's like, yeah, I would. I would ask the man that, too.
Roger Goodell gets asked that question all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was a little sensitive about the question. Said, you wouldn't have asked that to the MNBA guy. You reserve that for the WNBA commissioners. You don't do it for the MNBA commissioners.
Because everyone loves Adam Silver and wants to know how much longer he's going to have this job for, because they care about him staying in power.
And then the last one that I have, FIFA hates fun. They're going to ban tailgates at FIFA.
Yeah, that sucks.
Why do they, like, FIFA just, like, they try to strip everything down to the nuts and bolts. They take signage off of stadiums, and now they're taking fun away from fans. No tailgating for fans.
Yeah, that's dumb.
It's so dumb.
I want a tailgate.
FIFA's the NFL. They're the no fun league. You know what? I'm not going to go to a FIFA game. I'm going to protest FIFA. I'm going to pull a Keith on FIFA, and I'm not going to do it.
Like that.
I'm not going to go.
Jeremy's being a Keith.
Yeah, I was going to go to every match in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I look famously no soccer.
We do win all of our bets.
We profited on soccer today, 2-1. We're up, like, what, 3 units betting soccer this year?
Yep. Sounds right.
Boom. What do you know, Glenn Davis? Boom shakalaka. All right, it's going to do it for us.
Boom shakalaka.
Thanks to AJ for the hard work. Khalid for his hard work as well. No thanks to Brian. He's working somebody else's show. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night. Soccer Matters. Get on over there. Soccer Matters live from Senate Avenue Brewing. Good night, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.